The Galaxy Primes by E. E. Doc Smith. Chapter 1. Her hair was a brilliant green. So was her spectacularly filled halter. So were her tight short shorts, her lipstick, and the lacquer on her finger and toenails. As she strolled into the main of the starship, followed hesitantly by the other girl, she drove a mental probe at the black-haired, powerfully built man seated at the instrument-banked console. Blocked. Then at the other, slenderer man who was rising to his feet from the pilot's bucket seat. His guard was partially down. He was telepathing a pleasant, if somewhat reserved, greeting to both newcomers. She turned to her companion and spoke aloud. "So these are the system's best." The emphasis was somewhere between condescension and sneer. "Not much to choose between, I'd say. Port me a tenth piece, Klee. Heads, I take the towhead." She flipped the coin dexterously. "Heads it is, Lola, so I get Jim. James, 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 the ninth himself. You have the honor of pairing with Klee, or should I say, His Learnedness Right the Honorable Director Dr. Cleander Simsworth Garlock, Doctor of Philosophy, Doctor of Science, Prime Operator, President and First Fellow of the Galaxian Society, First Fellow of the Gunther Society, Fellow of the Institute of Paraphysics, of the Institute of Nuclear Physics, of the College of Mathematics, of the Congress of Psionicists, and of all the other top-bracket brain gangs you ever heard of. Also, for your information, his men have given him a couple of informal degrees, PDQ and SOB. The big psionicist's expression of saturnine, almost contemptuous amusement had not changed. His voice came flat and cold. "The less you say, Dr. Bellamy, the better. Obstinate, swell-headed women give me an acute rectal pain. Pitching your curves over all the visies in space got you aboard, but it won't get you a thing from here on. And for your information, Dr. Bellamy, one more crack like that, and I take you over my knee and blister your fanny." "Try it, you big, clumsy, muscle-bound gorilla," she jeered. "That I want to see. Any time you want to get both arms broken at the elbows, just try it." "Now's as good a time as any. I like your spirit, babe, but I can't say a thing for your judgment." He got up and started purposefully toward her, but both noncombatants came between. "Jet back, Klee!" James protested, both hands against the heavier man's chest. "What the hell kind of show is that to put on?" And simultaneously, "Bell, shame on you! Picking a fight already, and with nobody knows how many million people looking on? You know as well as I do that we may have to spend the rest of our lives together. So act like civilized beings, please, both of you. And don't—"
"Nobody's watching this but us," Garlock interrupted. "When Pussy there started using her claws, I cut the gun."
"That's what you think," James said sharply. "But Fatso and his number one girlfriend are coming in on the tight beam."
"Oh?"
Garlock whirled toward the hitherto dark and silent three-dimensional communications instrument. The face of a bossy-looking woman was already bright. "Garlock, how dare you try to cut Chancellor Ferber off?" she demanded. Her voice was deep-pitched, blatant with authority. "Here you are, sir." The woman's face shifted to one side and a man's appeared, a face to justify in full the nickname Fatso.
"Fatso, eh?"
Chancellor Ferber snarled. Pale eyes glared from the fat face.
"That cost you exactly 1,000 credits, James."
"How much will this cost me, Fatso?" Garlock asked.
5,000, and since nobody can call me that deliberately, demotion 3 grades and probation for 3 years. Make a note, Miss Foster."
"Noted, sir." "Still sure we aren't going anywhere?" Garlock said. "What a brain!"
"Sure, I'm sure," Ferber gloated. "In a couple of hours I'm going to buy your precious starship in as junk. In the meantime, whether you like it or not, I'm going to watch your expression while you push all those pretty buttons and nothing happens."